Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and we come your way every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific time, and we stream live on the internet at richarddugan.com. You can listen to the archives of these programs at richarddugan.com, the radio show's page. The link is right there. You can't miss it. And also, you can take a look at what people are saying about Tell Me Your Story, and we certainly hope that you'll do that. And let us know what you think by telling us via email at richard@richarddugan.com. That's richard@richarddugan.com. We would really encourage that. And if you have any suggestions as far as guests or even topics, not that I have ever been devoid of concepts for topics, let alone searching for various guests, I do quite well in that arena. However, I am always open to input from you. So richard@richarddugan.com is the email address. So please send us what you can. Today we are going to talk about something that has been in the media for, I don't know if it's been 2, 3, 4 years or more. It's been around for thousands of years. It's not a new concept, but it does get repackaged from time to time. And I used to ask the question, and I'm always asking these questions, and people say you need to stop asking those questions, is if it's the same, you know, the it's been made to me that it's just being repackaged so that a new group of people can kind of grasp it. They'll be interested enough to look into it. Whereas the old methods, you know, that was sort of the question. Well, why do they have to keep repackaging it? Why doesn't the old thing work? Well, it's because, you know, we change, we evolve, we grow, and we want something new and fresh. We think it's new and fresh, and it isn't really. It's old and it's not stale. Nonetheless, we're going to talk about it. But we're not going to have any secrets in regards to this topic. No secrets today. We're talking about the law of attraction, and we're going to be talking with a guest who's been on the program before. He's the author of Tell Me About Your God, fascinating book. I think that it would behoove you to check out his website and the book. I was just intrigued, R.J., R.J. McMillan, because the fact that you were even willing to ask this question of a myriad of people, and you had no real agenda other than you wanted to collect this information. You wanted to see what people of various faiths or no faiths had to say about their God, about spirituality, about doctrine and dogma as far as their religion was concerned. And all of the big questions, you know, why are we here? I'm not sure if that's one of the questions in your list, but welcome back to the program. It's great to have you.
Oh, it's good to be back.
Now, you are also a law of attraction consultant, coach, teacher. How do we put that into context?
I like to use the word consultant. Teacher sounds more like I'm trying to impart information to you. What I really do is I try to help people get the information that is presented in Law of Attraction and to help them create in their lives whatever they're wanting to create and maybe haven't been able to. But I basically help them with the process. Most of the people I coach or consult with, let's say, already know about Law of Attraction, but maybe don't know exactly how to use it to get from A to B, okay?
That seems to be the most difficult part about the law of attraction, even though it's been around for thousands of years. It's been referred to by different names, and some have even, you know, from a critical standpoint, referred to it as, and I'm going to use this term, the Santa Claus effect, you know? Gimme, gimme, gimme. I want this, I want that, I want, you know, those are the things I want in my life, all of these things. When it's sort of that, but it isn't really, there's something higher. There's a higher level to this whole law of attraction.
Well, you know, I tell you, Richard, it's kind of weird. We've been taught our whole life or all of our lives that it's better to give than receive. You know, if you're going to do service to another, that's more spiritual than, you know, creating or manifesting a new car or a new job or a new vacation home or whatever it is, you know. And Law of Attraction says basically we're here on this earth to enjoy ourselves and to create whatever it is that we desire. And people around us will benefit from that because we're going to be happier, we're going to be more open, we're going to be more in tune to their needs and just by being ourselves, being who we are, and creating our lives in the best way that we can. So it's kind of a little bit of a shift. You know, we've always, you know, our parents always tell us, you know, you don't be selfish now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you really got to, you know, give. It's better to give than to receive. So it's just something that we kind of have to look at and say, does this have value for me? And the more you get into it, the more you explore it, the more you realize that it, in the long run, it not only benefits me, but it benefits everyone that I come in contact with.
Now, you used the term giver and receiver. I learned long ago, in light of that phrase, you know, it is better to give than to receive. It isn't better to give than to receive. Neither is better than the other, because you have to have one or you won't have the other. In other words, there has to be a giver and a receiver in order for there to be a receiving and a giving. Now, you understand what I'm saying? In other words, it has to be those two parts. Because if there's only a giver, you know, in other words, oh, no, don't, I don't want that. No, thank you. That's very generous of you. But the giver has to give. That's what the giver does. That's termed the name. And if nobody's willing to receive it, how does the giver give? And if there's, and if it's better to give than to receive, and I'm not willing to be a receiver, well, you've ruined the whole equation. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I like to kind of look at it like, you know, if I'm giving from my heart, in other words, if I'm creating some good feelings or benefit or joy out of giving to you, it's a little more pure. It's like a win-win mm-hmm. situation. But if I give to you because you just inherited $100 million,
right,
and I'm expecting something in return, there's a little something, a little not quite, you know, connected about that. A little, in other words, maybe even a little more selfish. So if I like to look at it as nobody really does anything unless they think that in the having of it or in the doing of it that they're going to feel better as an end result.
And
it's always about being selfish, whether we like to admit it or not.
Well, that's true. And even in our society, there is no altruistic giving, because I look at it especially in the business world today. Nobody does anything. There's no free lunch. Nobody does anything without expecting something in return. I even look at these, for example, in the business community, when I go and I purchase something and there's a rebate offered. And in order to get that rebate, you have to fill out a card with your name, address, phone number, all of the pertinent information. So they now have you on record, and they can now solicit you, and they can market you, and so forth. And what really is frustrating for me is somebody that I'm doing business with already has that information, yet I still have to fill out those forms in order to get the rebate. And I've never understood that. Instead of just forget about the rebate, just lower the price of the product from the get-go. But they need that. They want that information. So there's no free lunch in that respect. That is not altruistic. That is not selfless giving, if you will. And that's kind of what we want to talk about. I want to see where you're coming from in regards to the law of attraction. And we have to use, for the moment, the most recent expression of that is The Secret, the movie and the book. And I have heard some people saying that there were some things that were left out of the movie and book that people are really frustrated because they can't make it work in their lives. So let's talk a little bit about that. Was there something left out? Did people miss? Is it there, but we've missed it? We didn't look closely enough. We didn't read between the lines. From your perspective, is it complete, or what more do we need?
I would say it's not complete, but could work for a whole lot of people. And you know, we got to kind of get away from this idea that, you know, one size fits all, or, you know, the secret is if it doesn't benefit everybody, it has no value. But from what my understanding is that there were people involved in The Secret originally, in the original movie, which was revised and re-released, Esther and Jerry Hicks, who, quote-unquote, channel or are guided by this being called Abraham,
mm-hmm.
okay? And the followers of Abraham, I mean, there are like millions and millions of followers, And it's just, you can say it's channeled or you can say it's inspired. It's all the same thing, in my opinion. But I think that part where they actually have somebody coming through another human physical body, imparting this non-physical wisdom, that part was left out of The Secret, particularly on the second part, on the second release of the movie. And I believe the reason it was left out is that a lot of people are not ready for that kind of information or are not open to the idea that there's value in something that is quote-unquote channeled, okay?
So as we take a look at this concept called the Law of Attraction, it was sort of codified down rather well for me in that it doesn't matter what you do or do not want, whatever it is that you do or do not want. For example, if I say I do not want debt, the universe focuses on the word debt and gives you more of it, whether you like it or not. Even though you said I do not want, debt was the focal point. I do want wealth, ergo it focuses on the word wealth. It focuses on the noun, if you will. And that's what it brings into your life. Is that an oversimplification?
Yeah, but it's a good one. You know, it's a great way of looking at it. And, you know, we've all heard that when you're playing golf, you know, don't hit it in the water. Don't hit it in the water, you know? And where does the ball go?
In the water.
In the water. Or rather saying, I want to hit it on the left side of the fairway. That's a little more positive, a little more something you can visualize, because when you're saying don't hit it in the water, you're envisioning the water. Your mind is only looking at the water, okay?
Yeah. Also, in other sports, for team sports especially, it's the team that plays to win that usually wins, as opposed to the team that plays not to lose, that kind of thing.
Right.
So,
you know, I think it's all about about vibration. You know, I can say it's about words or feelings, but words and feelings create a certain vibration. You know, it's the same vibration that we use to hear and understand someone, or to see or touch and understand someone. There's feedback, and it's all vibrational, and we live in a vibrational universe. And how we vibrate, whether it's positive, or you can say something wanted, or negative, or something unwanted, is what you're going to get. So if you're vibrating negatively about putting your ball in the water, that's what you're going to get. If you're vibrating positively about landing your ball on the left-hand side of the fairway, away from the water, that's what you're going to get.
How long have you been a Law of Attraction consultant?
Probably, I've been involved with Law of Attraction. I first found out about it about 7 years ago and was just fascinated with the whole concept. I mean, for years and years and years, I've been just studying religion and philosophy and spirituality and how it works or doesn't work in my own life. And I thought, well, that's kind of bogus because that's not working. So then I went on to something else. But once I got into Law of Attraction and started studying the precepts and the ideas and the laws, it just made a whole lot of sense. And there was nothing, no question that for me was left unanswered, which to me is the real test. It's like, well, okay, you know, I do this or I subscribe to this particular religion, but, you know, in the back of my mind I've got three or four things that we won't even go there because I know they don't have an answer for that. But with Law of Attraction, it's just, it's pure, it works on everything, it works all the time. The idea is that we just have to know how to get it to work for us the way we want it to work for us.
What was the expression of the Law of Attraction that began this process for you 7 years ago? Was it The Secret? Was it some other book or person?
I found out about it before The Secret. Seeing someone in a psychotherapeutic session.
Mm-hmm.
I was a little sort of, I needed a little guidance, as we all do. And you could call this person a guru or a counselor or whatever it is. And I needed a little guidance. And they said, by the way, you may wish, do you know about Abraham? And I said, I don't know what you're talking about. You mean like Abraham from the Bible? And they said, no, this is a channeled entity or an inspired entity that actually comes through and gives information through a physical being, a woman by the name of Esther Hicks. And I heard CDs, and I was immediately blown away. I mean, totally and nonstop for 7 years. And then it was about after 2 years or 3 years that I kind of got it to a point where I could apply it to most of the areas of my life. And my life has changed dramatically, I mean, in those 4 years since.
Mm-hmm.
But I said that I really got it. Now, am I perfect? I'm not perfect, no. Do I know how to get from A to B? Yeah. Do I always do it? No, because I'm still human.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's the thing, is we think we're going to find the key and the answer, but this to me is something that works. Now, do I do it all the time? Definitely not. Do I do it most of the time? Yes. Is my life in better shape because of it? Absolutely.
So when you consult with someone, someone says, hey, RJ, I would really like to learn the law of attraction and learn how to use it in the most beneficial way for myself and for those around me. Where do you start?
Well, you know, as you know, there's just a ton of information out there, and I talk about abraham-hicks.com, which I believe these people, Esther and Jerry Hicks, are the quintessential law of attraction teachers. They are the they brought Abraham to the world. And this particular wisdom, to me, is just the quintessential expert, if you want to say expert, or the quintessential authority on this for me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? This is where I would go. There's so much information on the Internet about law of attraction in many, many different forms and many, many different people doing it. But as you said, it's been around for many years. There's a lot of it, you know, in different scriptures and in different philosophies, religious philosophies. But you have to kind of pick it out and choose and figure it out for yourself. But I always tell people, you know, do a session with me. I'll get you started. I'll give you two or three things to start with that I want you to do religiously the same time every day to break old habits and old ways of thinking. Now, with that said, usually I'm working with people who understand or have some knowledge of law of attraction, and it's usually people who are fairly successful but want some more. In other words, I generally don't work with people who are, say, bipolar or heavily addicted to substances or are heavily into blame. They've got a decent life. They just want more. They want something better, and I help them find that.
The law of attraction, again, as you've stated, has been passed down through the centuries, and it seems to me that it hasn't really been a big focal point of mankind up until this time period in the last, say, 20, 30 years, as more of this kind of information is becoming more mainstream. More people are beginning to seek this kind of information out. It's almost like we're experiencing sort of a new golden age, renaissance period, if you will, of spirituality. And it isn't just that people want more things. Certainly, I'm sure that the law of attraction would help to bring those things to you. Is there another side to the law of attraction that we need to be aware of in terms, maybe the phrase I'm looking for is be careful what you ask for kind of thing? In other words, okay, I want to attract, you know, this thing to me, but if I do, what could be the result of that? Is that something that we should be concerned about?
It sounds like, to me, like underneath that question, there's like, careful what you ask for, because, oh boy, you know.
You
really
might get
on, yeah,
and then
it,
some.
It depends on your individual belief, you know. Well,
yeah.
you know, you couldn't have anything as good as that, what you're asking for, without there being a price, you know?
Right.
Or there's no free lunch, you know? But that depends on your belief systems, and we all have these belief systems that say, yeah, you know, I'd like to have all kinds of money or a great relationship, or I'd like to lose 30 pounds, but, you know, I just know that, you know, it always comes with a price. That's a belief. That's a negative belief that holds people back from creating what they want in their lives. So, but is there an inherent sort of, like I talk about it a little bit in my book, is one of the questions, is there anything that's inherently evil? And I would say no. There's no, like, there's no darkness.
Mm-hmm.
There's just the absence of light, or the absence of love, or the absence of God, if you will, if you want to put it that way. But and I certainly don't believe in any sort of negative spirits like Satan or the devil or anything like that. I know there are religions that do that, but that's not me.
Mm-hmm. R.J. McMillan is my guest. He's the author of Tell Me About Your God. He is also a law of attraction consultant, and we are going to continue here on Tell Me Your Story, talking with R.J. About the law of attraction. We'll get in a little bit about the book as well as we continue. I'm Richard Dugan, and this is Tell Me Your Story.
Tell me your story.
And we're back, and we're talking with R.J. McMillan, author of Tell Me About Your God, and he is also a law of attraction consultant. And you can certainly – we are linked to your website, R.J., at richarddugan.com. And when people go to the radio show's page, they'll have a play button to listen to this interview again. But your name is a link to your website, Tell Me About Your God. And I found that whole concept fascinating, as I mentioned at the front end of the program, that you in particular would have the courage, because that really takes a great deal of courage to start asking people about their beliefs. However, you came at it, from what I can understand, from there was no judgment in the questions or the answers to those questions. This wasn't a poll that you were taking for Fox News or CNN or some think tank group. This was you were putting this together, and this, I'm curious as to how this book ties in with your practice of the law of attraction.
Well, you know, interestingly enough, it probably does, but the main reason I did it was because I thought it would be fun. Just to briefly, you know, go over one of the things that I talked about in the last interview, I was always fascinated with this book by Studs Terkel called Working, where he interviewed elevator operators and prostitutes and bankers and lawyers and just, you know, factory workers and you know, wanted to know what they liked or didn't like about their job. And I thought, man, if I could just put that into the context of religion, how cool would that be, you know? So, in fact, I actually was doing law of attraction consulting when I did the book, but it was like almost like a sideline. It's like I'm not really tying them together, but in a way, law of attraction for me is there is a connection between the book and law of attraction, and that connection is that there's room for everybody, there's room for different philosophies. Don't make law of attraction wrong if it's not right for you. In other words, it's not a one-size-fits-all kind of a thing. It, you know, it works for a lot of people, and there are a lot of success stories out there if you go online and check it out.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a lot of people that just don't get it and or want to stick to the old ways and feel that for them, going to church, although these are not really conflicting ideologies at all, but some people do. They look at it and they say,
"Well, R.J., this whole business of the law of attraction, it appeals to a lot of people. It is something that it attracts. The law of attraction attracts a lot of people. The struggle that we have is with bringing it to fruition in our lives. And what I'd like to do, you are a law of attraction consultant, as you describe yourself. First of all, what's the first step that we need to take? And this is actually beyond calling R.J. McMillan to get on that road, that path to start, how do I put this? I want to put this in a positive, with a positive spin, to start drawing to us those things that are truly essential in our lives and even those things that we want.
Well, generally, Richard, what I start doing is one of the first things I'll tell people to do, and this is kind of, I start out with some very general ideas for people to do and start looking at, and then I get more specific as we go along and get into our consulting. But generally, let's say during the first session I have with somebody, I tell them the first thing you want to do is you got to stop complaining. Because what you're doing is you're drawing those things to you by focusing on the things you're complaining about. So again, like you and I had talked about before, complaining is just a bad habit,
mm-hmm.
like a lot of other things, and we just got to stop it. First of all, you got to be aware that you're doing it, and then stop complaining. And that's the first thing I tell. I tell people, stop taking offense at things that other people are doing, because you're never going to do the things that are going to please you. They're never going to, in other words, it's really hard to control all the people that you're coming into contact every day. It's hard to control their behavior. So the only thing you can control is your response to that. So number one, stop complaining, stop taking offense, and then we go from there.
Okay. That's an interesting point, because when we focus our attentions, this kind of goes into sort of a biblical thing that comes to mind every time I think of the law of attraction, and I think of people who are complaining. And you know, I found it interesting too, RJ, that complaining can be very subtle. It's not whine, oh, poor is, woe is me, blah, blah, blah. Sometimes the complaining can be very subtle along the lines of a conversation about the state of the world today and what one group is doing versus another group and so on and so forth. But it can be very subtle, because, oh, no, we're having a conversation, we're not complaining. But if you listen closely, that is what they're doing.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people tend to do that. They tend to wallow in negativity because they don't know any other way. In other words, it's hip, it's cool, it's current to stay up on current events and politics and religion. But I see a lot of people just parroting back what they've heard on CNN, you know, just to have okay, I've got this point of view. I'm a Democrat or a Republican or whatever it is, and I feel like I need to defend my position, you know? And I've really gotten away from that myself. I've gotten away from the whole idea of having to defend a position. So if you ask me if I'm a Democrat or Republican, I'd say, you know, neither. I have very little interest in politics. You know, I have a viewpoint that politics is really serving corporate interests. It doesn't really help me. Talking about it doesn't help me. That's where I am personally. You know, it just depends on how much energy you want to put into any given area. So I hope that answers the question. I know I tend to ramble a little bit. But
not at all. And it does answer the question, and it goes into my next point. There's a biblical passage when it talks about, you know, because everybody is, you know, so focused on what's bad in the world, what's evil. And there's a passage from the Bible where Jesus is quoted as saying, resist not evil. Now, that does not mean that the opposite of that is to go with evil. No, it is turn yourself around 180 degrees, go the other way. And what you just said is very poignant, because I use the example of a brick wall, and you're standing in front of it. Brick wall labeled evil. Push against it. Fight it. Do whatever you can to knock it down of your own physical, mental, and emotional power. You can't do it. Okay?
Yep.
And guess what? You've given the wall. You've expended all of this energy, and in a manner of speaking, you've given the wall all of your energy. What if you did turn 180 degrees and went the other way and focused on the law of attraction, attracting those things that you really want? That was the subtle point that you made there, and I thought that was very, very good.
Yeah, I think a lot of people don't really understand that the act of resisting something is keeping your attention on it, okay? And when you keep your attention on it, you're creating more or bringing more of that into your experience through the law of attraction. So when someone says resist not evil, the act of resisting will tend to bring more of that into your experience. So turn the other cheek, if you will, and turn toward more toward what you want. Turn toward good if you don't want more evil in your life. Turn more toward health if you don't want disease in your life. We tend to, as a society, we tend to look at all those things that are wrong, say, with our bodies, and we focus on those and we isolate them and we make it bigger. And we, you know, what can we do to get rid of this? Well, the best thing you can do is just turn your attention away from that and turn toward the 99.9% of your the things in your body that are working and performing well for you.
Have you ever?
It's really a matter of retraining your mind,
right?
In a different way.
Have you ever found yourself, RJ, in a situation where you would turn to the people that are in your sphere at that moment and say, you know, I'm really not interested in talking about these things. If you want to change the subject and go in a different direction, great. Otherwise, I'm going to be on my way.
Yeah, I do. I do that fairly often, and now, you know, I have friends that you know, we do certain things with certain friends. We have certain discussions with certain friends, and others, we have other discussions. And I've learned not to expect certain friends to do or be a certain way that I know that they're not willing or capable of being. I just enjoy them for who they are and what, you know, where they're at. And it's not making anybody wrong. It's just saying, okay, we do this with these guys, we do this with these guys, and we have fun doing this with these guys. And this person over here, we really don't have anything in common with, so, you know, why do I continue to go out and have dinner with them? No, I'm not going to do that anymore. You know, it's all about choices.
Yeah.
And self-empowerment. And it's really all about training your thoughts, being aware, and then training your thoughts to go in the direction of what feels good for you, what feels right for you.
I find it fascinating as I begin to think more critically, and I do a problem-solving thing, and I try to take a look at all of the different angles as best I can. But I think about the fact that we, as we've just described here, I'll codify it down to we have the freedom of association. But we also have the freedom, as you've stated, of disassociation. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's what's serving us in that given moment. If that's serving us, wonderful. If it's not, well, guess what? We get to decide, we get to choose which direction we want to go.
Yeah, it's an awesome power. You know, people don't realize how much power they do have, and they don't realize that the ultimate freedom is the freedom to choose the thoughts that are going to get you to where you want to go. You know, a lot of people don't realize the power in thought. And once you realize that you do create your own experience out of your thoughts and feelings, then you're going to start being a little bit more sort of cautious about which thoughts you're thinking and what you put your attention on. So, and it's really, you know, it's kind of fun. And you know, I want people to understand too that, you know, don't make this a job. Don't make this really hard. You know, have fun with it, play with it. You know, see where it goes for you. See if it's for you. And you know, in that sense, don't look at it as, oh, I got to get this done. I got to do this. I got to get into law of attraction. And I got to study this. And I got to do this. Just, you know, be cool with it. Be light with it. Be easy about it. And it will work for you. It's worked for me quite a bit. And, you know, I will say millions and millions and millions of people. So
it's a wonderful thing that we have an opportunity to work with. And you're someone who can help us to do that, assist us in that process. We eventually end up doing all of the work. You are there to help us through the various steps to guide us along so that we can stay on track, stay on purpose, stay on track. And I think that's very important. Now, you're out of Scottsdale, Arizona. But people can reach you through your website, which is tellmeaboutyourgod.com, and they can email
you. Yeah, that's pretty much a little more focused on the book,
sure,
which is a wonderful deal, and I'm loving that too. But if they want to just contact me directly, I've got a website going on now, but it's not quite finished.
Okay.
But if they can contact me through RJ McMillan@cox.net.
Okay, rjmcmillan@cox.net. That's his email address. And as soon as you have your new website up, certainly send us that link, and we will change that out as far as this particular program. You were on once before, and we focused a great deal on, of course, your book, Tell Me About Your God. And I'm wondering how you were received by the various people in these faiths. This kind of ties in with the law of attraction. In terms of your desire to interview a wide and diverse segment of the population from a wide and diverse points of view from a spiritual and religious standpoint, how did you go about formulating that in your own mind without getting people who had a lot of agendas? You know, as we know, we all take positions in, you know, personally. When it comes to religion and spirituality, we have our beliefs, and sometimes some of us want to expound those vociferously. But how about you in terms of seeking out these individuals? Because I think this is a prime example of the law of attraction as you've experienced it.
Yeah, well, I think the whole process for me was kind of easy, and law of attraction worked really well in the sense that my initial approach was, I'm going to just, you know, allow people to express their feelings about their religion and not try to lead them with certain questions and say, look, what do you think about this, and what do you think about God, what do you think about heaven and hell and so forth? And I think people finally got the idea that I wasn't there to argue or to judge or to say, you know, you're right or wrong or this is my point of view. It was all about them and just allowing them to express themselves in what they believe. And I think pretty quickly people understood that I was fairly neutral on the whole subject and non-judgmental. And I kind of went into it with a real light and easy and accepting attitude, and I got that back, you know. But if I went into it saying, you know, you're this and you do this and you believe that, well, that's baloney, and and I didn't do that. I was just kind of very accepting of everybody, and you know, there was no right or wrong, I just allowed people to express.
And to me, that's rather refreshing that we can take that place, that position, and I do that pretty regularly on this program, and in that I'm curious, and it seems to me that you were also very curious. And that's, of course, how the book, Tell Me About Your God, became manifest in the reality of this world. That's part of the process. We think about it. You know, again, they say that all physical things started from a thought. And then from some of the programming that we've done here, we've learned that the heart is the seat of emotion, and that you have to have some form of inertia to move that thought forward. Well, if the heart is the seat of emotion, and I love how people do that with words. They'll take the little segments of it and they'll play with it a little bit. But in this case, I think it certainly is appropriate to do so. And you're basically moving the thought into a place where you have passion over it. You have the vision. You have the dream. And it doesn't matter if anybody else gets it. You've got it. You want to make it happen. And little by little, it begins to manifest. It begins to take physical form. And that's part of the law of attraction, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, the other thing about one of the things that I've learned that, you know, like I told you before, I think I mentioned to you another time, law of attraction answers all of my questions about spirituality, religion, psychology, life, everything. And there's really nothing it doesn't answer for me. But one of the things that I learned is, okay, I've got, you know, I'm on a certain track. We all want to be in a peaceful place. We all want to be centered. We want to be enlightened. We want to be intuitive. We want to be in a loving space and so forth. Well, you know, that's one of the things that meditation does for you. That's one of the things that, you know, having good thoughts does for you. And how do you know whether you're on track, in alignment, or whatever you want to call it, with your source, with who you really are? Your emotions will tell you whether you're on track or not. It's like a guidance system. When you feel good, you are. When you feel bad, you're not. I mean, it's pretty pretty basic, pretty mm-hmm. simple. So, you know, that really, that explanation of emotions for me really was very helpful in understanding my emotions. It just, it's a very simplistic way and realistic way to look at it.
How different are you today from the person who was at the other end of this whole process, say, of the law of attraction, when you first came in contact with it, you know, in a very conscious way? What were you like then as opposed to now? You ever done a sort of a self-evaluation of that and your transformation?
Not until right now. Well, I have to say I'm getting more of the things that I want out of my life. I'm moving in directions. I don't feel like I have to do anything I don't want to do anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to be with people I don't want to be with. I don't have to work at a job I don't want to work at. So my life has changed, essentially creating people around me that are enjoyable. So my life has just gotten better and better because I've used the law of attraction to draw these things consciously and deliberately into my life, you know. That's about it. The only way that I can put it is that the quality of my life has really improved probably 1,000% in the last 5 years.
And, of course, you know,
and it gets better all the time. Now, do I backslide a little bit? Yes, because I'm human. You know, I'm going to have some issues and some problems that come up, but the beauty of law of attraction is you can apply it to your day-to-day problems or issues and to get beyond.
Yeah.
And just to begin to learn how to look at it in a different way, in a more preferable way, in a way that's going to, you know, get you from where you are to where you want to be.
Now, you had mentioned earlier in the program, and I want to have you reiterate, what would you suggest to be the best primer for someone to pick up right now and read to get them on that path? And then, okay, I've got this primer, but, you know, I need some support. I need some encouragement in this direction. And RJ would be great, but I need to get the nuts and bolts in my mind first. Where would you direct them?
Well, there's two places. The first place is YouTube. Just, you know, go in, type in Law of Attraction in YouTube. There's like hundreds, literally hundreds, if not more, videos on the subject of Law of Attraction. You can kind of pick and choose. The other one is there's a book out there called The Law of Attraction, and it's by Esther and Jerry Hicks, H-I-C-K-S.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to, they have a website as well, too. It's called abraham-hicks.com, which is, you know, they are, in my mind, the definitive authority or source of information on Law of Attraction. So if you want the basics that covers everything from A to Z, go read the book, The Law of Attraction by Esther and Jerry Hicks. That'll get you headed in the right direction.
And as we wrap up this program, any final thoughts or advice, suggestions, key words that people might focus on when it comes to the Law of Attraction and they want to help start making it making a difference in their lives and the lives of the people around them?
You know, in addition to what we talked about not complaining and so forth, I would say, you know, just appreciate. One of the things that I do every morning I get up, I appreciate three things about my life, my present surroundings in the morning before I get out of bed. And the same thing, I appreciate three things about my day or my life before I go to sleep every night. And that those two things alone will begin to shift your consciousness and start to change your life. And, you know, it has to be something that you want to do. You know, don't ever force yourself into doing something you don't want to do because somebody said it was a good idea. Try this, check it out, see how it works for you, see how it fits for you.
And when you're out here in the Santa Barbara area, look us up and we'll have you on the program live in studio. I'd love to do that.
You know, I'd love to do that, and I'm going to make it a point to do that because I've been to Santa Barbara a couple of times, and I just love it out there.
It's a fun place. It's paradise, just as we were talking before we started the program about you're having a great experience on a golf date up in the Sedona area. Just, it was absolutely marvelous. How could you have any problems in a place like this? Well, this is the same kind of situation for me. I go down to the marina and on the breakwater or out on the wharf, and it's like, what problems? Just throw them into the water and they'll just disappear, and it's a wonderful thing. R.J. McMillan, I want to thank you so much for joining us on the program, and look forward to much more from you. And we'll be talking with you again to try to give people an additional booster shot to keep them on track as far as the law of attraction.
Absolutely. I enjoyed it too, Richard. It was great talking to you.
Thank you. I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, and we'll be back next week with another edition here as we continue in the month of May. We'll be on at 7 p.m. next Saturday, and then in June we go back to 3 p.m. Pacific time, but we're always archived on the internet at richarddugan.com. Until next Saturday at 7 p.m., love to all.